Amen. Praise God. You got a Bible? Praise God. Hands up if you do not have a Bible. Okay, we can see if we can get you one for the end of the service. If you've got a Bible, good thing to do is to open it every now and again, in fact, every day. And a good place to open it is even at church as well. But the scriptures will be on the screen, but it's good to follow the word of the Lord along. Psalm 34, I just want to read this to us this morning, first of all. Psalm 34, verse 5, it says this. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Now, our theme last year was unashamed. And so we had the whole year looking at unashamed and what it means to be free from shame and to know that we can confidently come before God, to be unashamed in our relationships. We looked at all of those areas in our life. And now we want looking at looking to the Lord, being radiant, shining. That's what we're looking at this year. And we already started talking about that. We started right in the book of Genesis last year as we're talking about shining. I want to talk this morning about it's time for us really to reflect. And by reflecting, not just looking back, but really to reflect the things of God in our heart and in our lives. And so that's what we really want to look at this morning with our theme, to shine. And I trust that something was stirred in your heart last week, that there's a determination in your heart that this year you are going to shine in everything that God has for you and for your life. Amen? Well, you sound really, really inspired. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good on you, Bill. Well done. Praise God. I want to look a little this morning about Moses. We all know Moses. And Exodus chapter 34 is a little story of Moses. Now, we know the story of Moses. We know how he saw the burning bush. We know how he went to Pharaoh several times. We know about the plagues and things, and how the children of Israel were led out. We know the army pursued them across the sea, and the children of Israel crossed the seas and closed over, wiped out Pharaoh's army, and how he went to the Lord and got given these tablets with the law written on them. And then we have the story where he comes back down and he finds that the children of Israel in disarray. Aaron has been led by the people rather than leading the people. And so there's idolatry, there's sin in the camp. Moses comes down in utter disgust and he gets the tablets of the law and he just throws them down. He gets the golden calf that they've made and grinds it into dust, turns it into cordial, and they have to drink it. And so he ends up getting this second set of tablets. And that's where we really take it up. So Moses has got the second set of tablets. He comes down in Exodus 34. And this is what it says. When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hand. So this is Mark 2, version 2. Same words, but just a different tablet, different tablets. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. And then Moses calls them back, he addresses them, and it says, when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. So Moses has gone up there, and he's there, he's talking to God, he's sharing his heart with God, God is speaking to him. And in the process of him being in the Lord's presence, in the process of him talking to God, something actually changes with Moses. Something changes within his whole demeanor, his whole countenance changes as he spent time in the presence of the living God. And he doesn't realize that when he comes down, his face is glowing and so bright and shining so much that everyone is freaking out. They're all afraid of him because it's like there's like this bright light, like a spotlight on his face. And wherever he's looking, he's radiating this light. And so the people are scared of them. And so they come back and he has to end up walking around with this veil over his face so people will not be afraid of him. People are not going to be scared of him. And so wherever he goes around, he's got this veil. Whenever he went back to the presence of the Lord, he would take that off again and he'd come back and have to put the veil on because he was radiating the glory of God. Literally, physically from his body, there was this light that was shining out of his face, out of his life. And so the people were very scared of that. And I imagine his wife must have been really interesting when she went to bed at night time. She could never turn the light off. Moses, turn the light off, said Zipporah. Turn the light off. He can't. He's always there. He may have to sleep face down in bed just so they could get some sleep. But there's something about being in the presence of God and something about the Lord's light shining upon us that causes us to reflect the glory of God. And I've got my little bookmark in here somewhere, and when I find it, I will find it for us. And so he's in the situation where he's reflecting the glory of God, and the scripture says, thank you, I've got my notes in here somewhere. Here we go. No, that's last week's. Praise God. I'll speak off the bookmark, that's fine. And so he's reflecting and radiating the glory of God. And the clue that it gives us, it says that he was radiant because he was speaking with the Lord. And there's something about that, that when we spend time with God, when we spend time in prayer, and I'll talk a little bit more later on from the New Testament as we'll actually see how this works. But when we spend time in the presence of God, when we spend time in prayer, and that's why prayer is so important, and as we spend time speaking with God, not just coming with our list of, with our shopping list before God, but when we actually speak with the Lord. Moses, it says, spoke with the Lord. And when we spend time speaking with the Lord, there's something about our countenance, something begins to reflect, something of God's glory begins to radiate and begins to shine out of our lives. And the challenge for every one of us is to be shining as brightly as we can. We spoke about last week about not reflecting the darkness of our situation, but in our situation that God always brings light in the darkness. And we're actually to not reflect the circumstances and our emotions, to reflect whatever is happening to us and whatever people are doing or saying, whatever's happening, but learning to reflect actually into the circumstances the glory of God. We spoke about that. And one of the ways for us to really shine, we also looked at the Word of God, about Christ, the revealed Word, that His Word even is revealed in our hearts and through us. But another way that we really are to radiate and to shine is to spend time speaking with God. And you look in your own life, you will know if you've spent time this week talking with God. You may have spent some time, you may have come and prayed, Lord, just bless me, bless the budgie, bless everything, Lord. And maybe you came with your prayer. And I trust that you did pray for the Book of Life prayer. Remember, we did that last week. We launched that for people that we want to see written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we wrote those names down. And I trust that you didn't just do that as a little time filler on a Sunday morning. I trust that that's something in your heart that you actually, before God, have prayed for those people. It's important that we do that. We're not playing games here. We want to see people in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to see people saved. We want people knowing Jesus Christ. That's our cry, and that is our prayer. But also, did you spend time dialoguing with God, speaking with God, praying with God? Because the more time that you spend with God, the more time that you're speaking with God, then there will be a radiance upon your countenance, even which was upon Moses. And it came from one place. It came from being in the presence of God. It's the presence of God that causes our heart to shine. It's the presence of God speaking, praying, spending time with Him that causes His light to radiate, to shine out of our heart and out of our life. It was great, the little testimony from Pastor John. I'm sure we'll hear more testimonies of the week they just spent in Mansfield, but it's clear from all that they were doing there, from what the little testimonies that I've heard, that the Christ was radiant, shining out of them into some fairly dark situations, bringing the light of Christ. And that comes from spending time in the presence of God. If we really are going to shine, then we need to do that. We need to spend that time that we can shine and radiate out the glory of God. And it comes from speaking with the Lord. And that's what happened to Moses. It was speaking with God which made him radiant. It was opening his heart to the Lord and allowing the Lord just to pour His Spirit into him, life into him. And then he was able then to reflect and radiate that glory of God. It says of Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friends. Now, literally and physically, I don't think he actually did see him physically face to face. Excuse me, we'll see a little bit later on where God actually hides and says, Moses, you can't actually see me physically full on. You're not going to survive that, but you can see my back. I'll cover my hand over the rock. You hide in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to pass by with all my mercy, all my compassion, all my glory. It's interesting that that's the character of God. It's not judgment and wrath, but actually it's mercy, compassion. He said, I'm going to reveal all my glory to you, Moses, but just going to keep my hand there as I go past. And when I'm past, all right, I'll take my hand away. Then you can see the glory in that way. But he saw something in the presence of God. He wasn't actually able to see the Lord physically face to face. But we'll see that we are able to actually see into the fullness of God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something about that, that when we spend time in God, that people will be able to see that, be able to see that manifest in your heart and in your life. How are you going to shine in your workplace? How are you going to shine at school or at uni? How are you going to shine in your neighborhood? How are you going to shine in your family, in your friends? Well, it's not because of your brilliant personality. It's not because you're the life of the party. You know all of the jokes and whatever it is. That's not the thing that's going to cut it. It's something about you that when people look at you, that they see something different, something radiating out of you, something shining out of your life, and it comes from only one place. It comes from speaking with God and spending time with Him and actually looking into the eyes of the Lord and to know Him and be able to radiate and then reflect that back. And ask yourself, how much time did we spend speaking with the Lord this week? How much time did we spend in the Lord's presence? Because it'll be directly proportional to that. The amount that we shine will be directly proportional to the amount of time that we're spending in the Lord's presence. And you might get frustrated with your witness, and you might get frustrated with people that you talk to them and say, well, I'm talking to them and I'm telling them all of the things, but maybe you need to spend just a little bit more time speaking with the Lord also. Speak to the Lord, speak with Him and spend time in the presence of God and praying, and then allow that to shine and to radiate in your life. And you'll notice what a difference that makes in the heart and the lives of other people. It's an interesting story of Stephen. Stephen, the Bible tells us, was a man that was full of wisdom. He was full of anointing of the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. Chosen to help serve in the around the things of the house and around serving widows, and chosen as one of these mighty men to serve, basically what his job, he was chosen to serve. And Stephen was one, and he begins to talk about the glory of God. The teachers, the Pharisees, the lawyers, they all take umbrage to what he's saying, and then they end up getting to the point where they're ready to stone Stephen to death. And the scripture says in Acts 6:15, it says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin, so he's called before these guys to judge him, they looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, did he suddenly, you know, he's sitting there, all of a sudden he just morphed and on the angel face? No, there was something about the glory of God that was radiating out of him at that time. Something was shining forth out of his heart and out of his life, such to such an extent they could actually almost see something physically in his life. It was almost a physical thing. They said, well, his face is like an angel. There's something shining there. All the scriptures of angels are their glory and radiating light. And they could see something within him. And that's the challenge for every one of us, that people would look at us intently at you and they see our face and they see there's something like an angel. Not because of you got no pimples or you got no wrinkles or because you've got Botox. You know, you got Botox, well, you're not going to be, you're not shining anywhere. It's the glory of God that is shining out of our heart, and something begins to affect the people around us, and it all gets back to that time of spending presence in the living God, spending time in His presence and allowing Him just to shine and radiate out of our lives. And to have that of you, is it said of you, is it known of you that there's a radiation, there's something that shines out of our heart, and that's the challenge for every one of us. And, oh, there we go. I'm shining now. The glory is upon me. And but that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? And God wants us to radiate that, that people actually see it in us. And certainly that's something that was certainly people saw in our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 53:2, it says this, He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. And so Jesus wasn't, you know, I don't know, what's a good-looking man? A handsome man, yeah. I'm trying to think of an example. I don't know what you'd think would be. Ladies, you've got a good idea. We guys are struggling. Whatever. A handsome man. He wasn't just, wow, look, you know, he's who's a famous actor? He's Tom Cruise or someone. Is he good-looking, ladies? No, you don't like him. Brad Pitt? Yeah, Brad has got the nod. No, some of the ladies are going, no way. One of those good-looking dudes, anyway. One of those. He wasn't like that. He wasn't. People go, oh, wow, look at Jesus. Wow, look at him. It wasn't about his physical appearance. He had perfect, flawless skin. But there was something about him that was so attractive, something that attracted people to Jesus. You've got fishermen that are busily at their work and they're working away, and Jesus walks up and says, "Hi guys, follow me." And they drop everything and off they go and they follow him. Something about Jesus, something that they saw. It wasn't a physical attractiveness, wasn't the look of his skin or whatever else, but there was something in Christ that was shining out. And really that's the challenge for us this year, is that we shine, that we truly shine. There's something about Jesus that caused people to come to him. There's a great passage in Matthew 17, and if you do have a Bible, do turn to this. If you've got a Bible, because all the verses won't come up there on the screen, I don't want to spoil you too much. Matthew chapter 17, let's just read this together. This is the story of the transfiguration. I think I have got it all up there, but yeah, I spoiled. But anyway, Matthew 17, and I just want to read this passage about where Jesus revealed himself in his glory. It says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them up the high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, if it's good for us to be here, if you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Which is a good thing, because Peter was just mouthing continuously. "When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. 'Get up,' he said. 'Don't be afraid.' And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus." What an amazing little encounter that this is. He calls up Peter, James and John, gets them up on the mountain, and then all of a sudden, bang, this radiant glory begins to be revealed from his face. Physically, literally, bang, this glory. His clothes suddenly become white and radiant. Now, at this point, I think I would be pretty freaked out. Hands up if you would be. I think I would be. But it doesn't say they're terrified there. They go, "Oh, that's interesting. Oh, look at that." Yeah. And then Peter decides to turn it into a camping trip. "Let's put some tents up and we can all have all of this going on." And then finally it says, when God himself speaks and the glorious cloud comes down and says, "This is my son and him I am. Please listen to him." That's when they says they finally got a little bit terrified, and then Jesus had to then encourage them in that encounter. But really what Christ was really showing to these disciples is that what people could see in him, what was drawing, there was a radiance that was within Christ. And he actually gave a little snapshot of the glory of God that was upon his life by allowing that physically to manifest. What people were seeing, picking it up, they could sense it, they could feel it, they were drawn to it. He actually then revealed it physically, that light, to shine out even over the light of people. And it was a very amazing thing to do that. Christ was giving them a snapshot of what he is like in glory. And certainly if you have a look at in Christ, in the Revelation, it says this of Christ. He says, his head and his hair, Revelation 1:14, it says, his head and hair were white like wool and as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. So that is the Christ that we serve. That is the Christ that we worship. And that's the Christ that we're looking at. We're not looking at the little baby lying in a manger. And so many people, whenever they think of Christ, that's the first thing. Or the second thing they may think of, if they don't think of that, is they think of Christ hanging on the cross, bleeding. And they have that image when they think of Jesus Christ. But that's the image of Christ, is as our risen Savior with the full glory and intensity and the power of God shining strongly out of him. That's the image of God, and that's the image of Christ that we have, that when we look to him, he's the one that we're looking for, the risen Christ, the Almighty God, the Almighty Savior. He's the one that we look at, and he's the one that we are reflecting and radiating that glory out to other people. And it's an amazing, powerful thing. That's the picture of Jesus Christ that we have to have. And that's the picture that Christ wants to bring forth in our life. Not that we're physically going to all walk around with, you know, headlight faces, all right, so that wherever you go. But spiritually, it's supposed to be like that. And that's really what God wants us to do, that we go along and the people will see something about you. They won't be able to explain it. Alan and Lorraine gave a great little testimony, and they've testified to me many of the struggles that they've been through. Many, many big desperate struggles, but people have commented to them and saying, well, what is it? What is the thing that is? And there's something about God that has been able to radiate and to shine out of them, even in darkness, even in a difficult situation, the light of Christ shining forth. And that's really what we're really talking about shining. And that's the degree that we really want to be able to shine with such an intensity that people are drawn to that. They may drop all that they're doing and want to come to Christ because they see something within us. They see that light shining out of our heart and out of our life. And really, that's what Christ, if we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ, really that's what we really are to become, ones that are really shining out in that light. Now, there's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I think I might just read a fair chunk of this. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn to this. I just want to read, and I'll read down from verse 7. Now, it starts here talking about two covenants. We know that there was one covenant that was entered into. We had the law, which Moses, when he came down from the mountain, Mark 2, with the tablets, he was bringing down the law. And this talks about how the law came. It came with a glory because Moses was this glory radiating out of his face, but he had to then put the veil over his face, and it contrasts with really what we have in Jesus Christ. And it says this from verse 7. Now it says, now the ministry that brought death, and by that it's talking about the law. If you try to live up to a bunch of rules, to a standard, you're going to fail, you're going to fall, and Christianity is not about that. But if you come under law and try to live under law, you're going to come into a place of death because there's no life in that. It says, now the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters on stone, which was on those tablets. It came with glory so the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Who has the ministry of the Spirit? You read a little bit earlier on, talks about us being the letter. I used that verse last week. And really, the ministry of the Spirit for us is to bring a glory and to shine out in a way which is not fading, which doesn't fade away. Moses, what Moses had, what Moses experienced, it says that it faded away. But what we have is something, the ministry we have, and the glory of God shining out of us is not to fade away. Verse 8, it says, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses has read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, and this is we, hands up if you're a we. Yeah, we're a we. We're a we too. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, it talks about that we have a ministry, and we have a ministry, we have the radiance within our life. And it says it's not like Moses', one in that Moses' was not going to last. It just faded away. And when you become a Christian, your experience of Christ and Christ coming into your life is not to be an experience that you're on fire with God when you first come to the Lord and then it fades away. Not to be like that. In fact, it's actually supposed to be going from glory to glory, to be more and more glorious. We need to be more in love with Jesus today than we were the very first day that we met him. When you first gave your heart to Jesus Christ, man, to be loved with a pure love, to know a real love, and to know that upon your life, just an amazing thing to experience that. But how much more is that love and that love that we have from God and that relationship with God? It's never to be a fading glory. If anything, it's supposed to be more and more radiant. And that only comes as we spend time in the Lord's presence. If you spend time praying and reflecting upon him and allowing his Spirit to touch our heart and to shine out of our life. No shortcuts in that. We need to spend that time with God. And so we're not going to cover it up. And see, some of us will do that. We have this incredible ministry, this incredible light that Christ wants to shine out of our hearts. But what we do is we put a little veil over it. Moses did it because people couldn't bear to see that. When he was there, oh, Moses, it's blinding. So Moses had to cover it up. But as Christians, how many of us as Christians, we will actually put a little veil over that? And so that when you're at work, who knows you're a Christian? Not because you've got I'm a Christian t-shirt on, but because when they look in you and they look in your life and they look in your face and they look at you and they see the way that you live your life and the way that you respond to the circumstances, the same messes that everyone faces in life, the tragedies, the heartaches, all of the things that we go through. But when they see in you, that they see that there's something that shines out in the midst of that. Quite often some of us will do, well, we'll put a veil around and because we may be embarrassed. Oh, what will they think of me when they see my face shining? And so that we hide it and we put a little veil over us because we're worried about what people might think. We're worried about what people might say because we want to be able to blend in with the crowd. We want to be just one of the boys. We just want to be there. And if I've got this veil up, they're going to see there's something different about me. So I'm just going to keep this over me. I'm going to cover that. And sometimes that we do that. It talks about also, it says that whenever the word was read, it says about that their mind was dull. And the word dull there doesn't mean thick as in duh. It means dull as in calloused. It's become hard. And some of us can be like that. We go through things and rather than just spending more time in God's presence and reflecting more of the glory of God, we become a little bit hard. We become a little bit calloused when the knocks of life hit us and the circumstances begin to impact us and we become a little bit thick-skinned. We become a little bit calloused and in that process we end up then just putting that veil over our face. And then we wonder why sometimes it's hard to shine. Well, why is it hard to get through to people? It's because we've actually got this veil that we've put over our face. And we've got to make sure in our own heart, Lord, I'm not going to be one that puts a veil. I'm not going to hide. Even as it says Moses, well, under that old covenant with the fading glory, there was something covered over. We don't want to put that veil over us. If we're indifferent to the things of God, if something doesn't stir your heart when we're in worship, if you're not just loving Jesus with all your heart and you go, I was singing another song, and if they become songs to you rather than worship, I tell you, there is a veil over your own face, over your own heart. Something about when we're worshiping God that just causes us to come alive. But if you struggle in worship, it's not to do with whether you can sing or not. It doesn't matter whether your voice is good or bad. It depends on whether your face, you're beholding the Lord face to face. But if you've got a little veil there in front, it's going to be really hard to rise up. And so we need to take away any veils, anything that we've allowed to come between us and God, whether it's indifference, whether it's sin, whatever it is, whether it's compromise, whatever it is that we put between us and God, we need to take away those veils and to be able to look full into the face of Christ. And so many times we struggle and we say, it's not because of God's not doing what God does very well and being a good and faithful God. And it's not because he's not looking at us, he's not shining his light upon us. It's simply because we can't see him because we're trying to see him through a veil. I think God's there somewhere, sort of, yeah, little glimpses here and there. We'll just throw it away and look full into the face of Christ. We need to do that. And don't try to hide from God. Don't try to hide even from one another that we have unveiled faces that reflect the glory of God. And one of the things that's really interesting about verse 18 where it says this. It says, and we who with unveiled faces. So as believers, we don't put a veil there. We have no pretense. We've got nothing to hide. Our eyes are open. Our heart is open to the things of God and reflecting God. It says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Now just reflect upon this. Think about it. This little passage just for a moment. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. See, if I've got a mirror and I hold up a mirror here, we've got some bright lights and I put the mirror here and it goes bang, bang, it hits the mirror, it is going to reflect the light, isn't it? Now, Scripture's not saying that at all, is it? That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture isn't saying you're going to be a mirror that walks around, and when the light hits you, bang, bounces off you and hits other people. That's not what this scripture is talking about. That's not even what shining is. Shining isn't just, look, I'm a mirror, here I am, and bang, bang, boom, 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 boom. It actually says something there. It says, unveiled faces or reflects Lord's glory are being transformed. And actually, there's something about the character and the nature of the thing that is doing the reflecting. It's like if I'm holding up this Bible, let's pretend it's a mirror, but as the light of the mirror actually changes, it hits it, it doesn't stay as a mirror anymore. It actually takes on the very form. Sorry, hidden the voice there. Put a veil over the microphone. It actually changes the nature of the reflector. It actually becomes like the light. So no longer am I just holding up a mirror reflecting the light. It actually begins to look like the light itself. It actually gets changed in the process of reflecting. And that's the challenge for us as believers. It's as we reflect God, we are actually changing to become more and more like the image of Christ. And so his light changes us. It does something in us. It actually causes us to be changed in our character and our nature, that we become Christ-like. And so don't think of yourself as just going around with a polished mirror over your face radiating the glory of God. It's far deeper than that. It's not a superficial thing. It's actually changing the essence and the substance of who we are to bring out the nature of Christ within our life. We change, we become more and more and more like Jesus Christ as we are reflecting. And so don't think, when I'm a good enough Christian, when I get it all together, when I've got no more problems, I've got no more hassles. And that means you're dead, by the way. If you've got no problems and no hassles, you're not in this world. You're with the Lord. So don't think, well, when I'm a really good Christian, and when I'm perfect, then I'm going to let my light shine. When I've got it all together, when everything's right, then I'm going to shine my light. Then I'm going to share my faith when I've got it all together. No, it's as we are shining, then we become more and more like Christ. And so it doesn't matter where you see you are. It doesn't matter you think I'm just starting, I'm here, I'm there, wherever I am. We've all got to shine with everything that is within us, because as we do that, we are actually changed and conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And that is our goal. That's why we're Grow Church. We're here to become Christ-like, to reflect Christ in every area, in every part of our life. And so that's why it's so important. Don't wait until you're spiritual. Oh, when I'm a bit more spiritual, no. You'll get more spiritual by starting to reflect the light, spend time with the Lord, speaking with the Lord, be in his presence, and you'll find already as his light shines upon you, begins to change you. And then as you begin to reflect that, there's something that is happening to people around us, but there's also something deep happening within our own heart. What a challenge it is for us truly to shine. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this. Now, I used this scripture last week because we started off with God being the one who said, let light shine in the darkness. And now God is the one who brings light into darkness. That's what God does. He does it very well. Whenever there's darkness, God will be the one who brings light into that. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's to give us, may the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So there's something about what Jesus Christ did upon the cross when he put us under a new covenant. No longer are we on these commands that are written on tablets of stone. We're actually on a new covenant which was sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we have communion. It reminds us that the seal of the promise that we have in God is found through Jesus Christ and by the fact that his blood was shed for us, that he died in our place for our sin. And that's what it reminds us of. So we're not under that old covenant, we're under a new covenant. Moses could not look at the face of God. He knew him face to face. In other words, his dialoguing, his conversation was heart to heart. Not, oh God, how art thou today? Like, we don't talk like that. He spoke to God as a man would talk to his friend. And he knew him, he spoke to him, just like a friend would. You would face to face. Not a God who's up there somewhere, if thou can hear thine. But no, he spoke face to face as a friend. But he couldn't actually see the glory of God, as that says it in Exodus 33, where the glory of God is passing. Remember, God put his hand there and said, okay, well, once I'm passed, I'll take my hand away. Okay, you can see the glory from behind. You can't look at me full on. The beauty for us as Christians who come into a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not just seeing the back of God. It says that because of what Jesus Christ has done, we can look full into the face of Christ. And so the reflection to be radiated out of the old covenant was, as it says, the glory of that is low, it's small, it's diminished. But for us to be able to look full on into the face of God and reflect His glory, what a wonderful thing it is. What a great promise, what a great inheritance we have in Jesus Christ. And so that's the challenge for every one of us, is to come into the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And that's we get right back to where we started from, is spending that time in the presence of God, because that's where, as you're speaking to God, as you're in communion with God, whether you're in the presence of God, that's where you're going to be able to reflect that glory of God. You're actually going to be changed in His presence as the glory of God is pouring upon you, and then as you begin to shine that out to other people. And so the challenge is how much time are we spending? Are we spending that time in the presence of God? Because you will be changed in that process. And we've got to shine our light, not just to be our little candle. Oh, I've got my little candle in the darkness. None of this little candle in the darkness. You're supposed to be a nuclear bomb. You're supposed to be the light and the power of God shining forth from our life. Even that intensity of Christ is the glory of God radiating out of Him. Even Moses, which was a lesser under an old covenant, well, they'd put a veil there, but we've actually got no veils. Don't allow anything between you and God. Don't allow any excuses, any indifferences, anything, any areas of compromise in our lives. Don't put anything between us and God. But if we're fully looking on and radiating the glory of God, that there's that bright light of Christ to shine out of our heart with an intensity that will touch the darkest heart, the hardest heart, it'll just begin to melt as we're radiating the presence of God. And that's the challenge for us, to truly to shine. No shortcuts in it. No shortcuts. Spend the time in God's presence, and then you will shine. You will be changed, and then you will radiate and reflect the glory of God. And that's what we're here to do. God has called us to shine. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray for us this morning. You need prayer this morning. You feel even in your own relationship with God, well, look, there's a veil. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know Him, you haven't actually said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I need your light in the darkness of my life. I need you in my life. I need you, Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that today, then come forward. We'll pray with you. You need prayer for today. Maybe there's been a veil and you've struggled to even see God's glory. And you say, Lord, I don't want any veils. Lord, I want you to take that away. Lord, I want to take it away this day. Come and we'll pray. If you have needs in your life, we'd love to pray with you this morning. Father, as we stand here, Lord, we just see your challenge from your word is, Lord, that we need to shine, Lord, so brilliantly. So radiantly, Lord. And it's not out of our own physical attractiveness, Lord, not out of our own brilliance. But Lord, it's a life, Lord, that's changed and conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, as your light is shined upon us, Lord, that we begin to reflect that, Lord, brightly, to reflect it brightly in our circumstances. Father, I just thank you for every person that is here today. Lord, I pray that each one, every person, Lord, will say, yes, Lord, I'm going to shine for you this year. Lord, I'm going to shine for you this life that I have. I'm going to shine so brightly, Lord. I'm going to look full into the face of Jesus Christ. And Lord, even as you change me, Lord, I'm going to shine that. Lord, wherever people are at, Father, we need to begin, Lord, to shine even all the more. So Father, I just thank you for that, Lord. Let us spend time in your presence. Father, let us shine your light in every situation, Lord, to every person that we know. Let us not hide it, Father. But Lord, let that light shine out of our life. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, that we don't just see you from behind. But Father, that we can look full into the face of Jesus Christ. And Lord, this day we fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ and allow your light to shine on our hearts. Lord, that this day even that we might be changed and transformed according to your will and your glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Need prayer? I'll stay here.